Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor by Avraham Goldar and Dima Sechus Chulin Daf Ayin, the fourth parak Behema Makasha. The Zichu Sechus Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting Kinyan of Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three tops we're going to focus on. Number one, Rava asked, Halchu be'evarim acharov, do they follow the majority regarding limbs or not? The Gemara first suggests the cases where most of a Bechor emerged from the womb, and the emerged majority included the minority of a particular limb. And Rava's inquiry is whether the minority of that Aver follows its own majority to consider it entirely inside the womb, resulting in the majority of the fetus not having left the womb, or if it follows the majority of the fetus. However, the Gemara objects, Pshita de l'shafkinen ruba de uber, vazlinen basarov aver. It's obvious that we do not forsake the majority of the fetus and follow the majority of the limb. Therefore, the Gemara explains Rava's inquiry is, kagon shiyatza chetzio berov aver, where half the Bechor emerged, with the majority of a particular limb. And his question is, how miut begavai, that minority of the limb, which is inside, do we assign it to the majority of the limb, considering that entire limb born, which would result in the majority of the fetus being born or not? Point number two, the Gemara asks a series of questions about chetzitzos in the birth of a Bechor, which is sanctified by passing through the womb. Rava asks, Krachu basiv, if one wrapped the fetus in palm bast or in his garment, does the chetzitza prevent the animal from gaining Bechor status? What if it was wrapped b'shul yacheres, in the amniotic sac of another fetus? What if the woman wrapped the fetus in her hands and drew it out? These inquiries are relevant where the fetus was emerging feet first, allowing it to be wrapped before being considered born. Additional inquiries. If a weasel swallowed the fetus inside the womb and drew it out and then reinserted it and spit it back into the womb, after which it was born normally, can it become a Bechor through the second emergence? Hidbik shnei rachamim. If one attached two wombs of animals to each other, so a fetus passed from one into the other and was then born from the second animal, is it a Bechor? If the birth canal opened wide and the fetus was born without touching the birth canal, can the airspace of the womb render it a Bechor? And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Behema shemeis ubara betok me'eha. If an animal's fetus dies inside its womb, and the shepherd inserted his hand into the womb and touched it, the Tanakhama says that whether it's a kosher or non-kosher animal, the shepherd remains tahor. Rav Yossi Aglili says that if it's a non-kosher animal, he's tameh, but if it's a kosher animal, he's tahor. Rav Chis explains that a dead fetus inside a kosher animal is tahor based on a kal v'chomer. Imo iwa imo hatira b'achila, if its mother succeeds to permit the dead fetus in consumption through her shchita, so iwa latahure midei nevela, should she not succeed to keep a tahor from nevela while she's alive? The Tanakhama holds the same applies to a non-kosher animal based on a hekesh. Rabbi Yossi Haglili darshans a pasuk which says that if someone touches the carcass of a non-kosher achaya, or a non-kosher behema, or a non-kosher sheretz, he's tameh. This implies that touching the nevela of a kosher animal is not matame, which is not true. Rather, the pasuk is referring to a fetus, teaching that a dead fetus inside the womb is only tame in the case of a non-kosher animal. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Rava asked, Halchu be'evarim acharov, do they follow the majority regarding limbs or not? The Gemara first suggests the cases where most of a Bechor emerged from the womb, and the emerged majority included the minority of a particular limb. And Rava's inquiry is whether the minority of that Aver follows its own majority to consider it entirely inside the womb, resulting in the majority of the fetus not having left the womb, or if it follows the majority of the fetus. However, the Gemara objects, Pshita de l'shafkinen ruba de uber, vazlinen basarov Aver. It's obvious that we do not forsake the majority of the fetus and follow the majority of the limb. Therefore, the Gemara explains Rava's inquiry is, kagon shiyatza chetzio berov aver, where half the Bechor emerged, with the majority of a particular limb. And his question is, how miut begavai, that minority of the limb, which is inside, ma'ul mishnede basarov aver, do we assign it to the majority of the limb, considering that entire limb born, which would result in the majority of the fetus being born or not? Point number two, the Gemara asks a series of questions about chetzitzos in the birth of a Bechor, which is sanctified by passing through the womb. Rava asks, Krachu basiv, if one wrapped the fetus in palm bast or in his garment, does the chetzitza prevent the animal from gaining Bechor status? What if it was wrapped b'shul yacheres, in the amniotic sac of another fetus? What if the woman wrapped the fetus in her hands and drew it out? These inquiries are relevant where the fetus was emerging feet first, allowing it to be wrapped before being considered born. Additional inquiries. If a weasel swallowed the fetus inside the womb and drew it out and then reinserted it and spit it back into the womb, after which it was born normally, can it become a bechor through the second emergence? Hidbik shnei rachamim. If one attached two wombs of animals to each other, so a fetus passed from one into the other and was then born from the second animal, is it a bechor? If the birth canal opened wide and the fetus was born without touching the birth canal, can the airspace of the womb render it a bechor? And point number three, the next mission states, Behemah shemeis ubara betoch me'eha. If an animal's fetus dies inside its womb, and the shepherd inserted his hand into the womb and touched it, the Tanakhama says that whether it's a kosher or non-kosher animal, the shepherd remains tahor. Rav Yossi Aglili says that if it's a non-kosher animal, he's tameh, but if it's a kosher animal, he's tahor. Rav Chis explains that a dead fetus inside a kosher animal is tahor based on a kavah homer. Imo iwa imo hatira bachila. If its mother succeeds to permit the dead fetus in consumption through her shchita, so iwa latahure midei nevela, should she not succeed to keep a tahor from nevela while she's alive? The Tanakhama holds the same applies to a non-kosher animal based on a hekesh. Rabbi Yossi Haglili darshans a pasuk which says that if someone touches the carcass of a non-kosher achaya, or a non-kosher behema, or a non-kosher sheretz, he's tameh. This implies that touching the nevela of a kosher animal is not matameh, which is not true. Rather, the pasuk is referring to a fetus, teaching that a dead fetus inside the womb is only tameh in the case of a non-kosher animal. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Ayin, and our standard Siman is an eye doctor. An eye doctor, so here goes. The eye doctor who invented a new pair of glasses that can see into the womb was measuring a limb that was mostly out and half-emerged before and wondering if one can add the minority to consider it fully born. When his assistant asked him for the glasses because he had many shalos on chetzitza regarding a bechor being born, knowing that even if the fetus dies inside the womb, it would not be matami someone who touches it inside. Once again, slow motion. The eye doctor who invented a new pair of glasses that can see into the womb was measuring a limb that was mostly out in a half-emerged bechor and wondering if one can add the minority to consider it fully born. Which reminds us, Rava asked, Halchu be'evarim achar arov, do they fall the majority regarding limbs or not? The Gemara explains Rav's inquiry is, kagon shiyatze chetzi b'rov aver, where half the bechor emerged with the majority of a particular limb. And the question is, that minority of the limb which is inside, do we assign it to the majority of the limb, considering that entire limb born, which would result in the majority of the fetus being born, or not? So the eye doctor who invented a new pair of glasses that can see into the womb was measuring a limb that was mostly out and half-emerged bechor and wondering if one can add the minority to consider it fully born. When his assistant asked him for the glasses because he had many shilohs on chetzitza regarding a bechor being born, which reminds us, the Gemara asks a series of questions about chetzitzos in the birth of a bechor, which is sanctified by passing through the womb. Rava asks, Krachum Basiv, if one wrapped the fetus in palm bast or in his garment, does the chetzitza prevent the animal from gaining bechor status? What if it was wrapped b'shulya acheris, in the amniotic sac of another fetus? What if the woman wrapped that fetus in her hands and drew it out? Other shalas are asked. So the eye doctor who invented a new pair of glasses that can see into the womb was measuring a limb that was mostly out in the half-emerged bechor and wondering if he can add the minority to consider it fully born. When his assistant asked him for the glasses because he had many shilohs on chetzitza regarding a bechor being born, knowing that even if the fetus dies inside the womb, it would not be matame someone who touches it inside. Which reminds us, the next mission states, if an animal's fetus dies inside its womb, and the shepherd inserted his hand into the womb and touched it, the Tanakhama says whether it's a kosher or non-kosher animal, the shepherd remains tahor. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that if it's a non-kosher animal, he's tameh, but if it's a kosher animal, he is tahor. So once again, the eye doctor who invented a new pair of glasses that can see into the womb was measuring a limb that was mostly out in a half-emerged bechor and wondering if one can add the minority to consider it fully born. When his assistant asked him for the glasses because he had many shilohs on chatzitza regarding a bechor being born, knowing that even if the fetus dies inside the womb, it would not be matami someone who touches it inside. All right, so now it's time for our four blabat chazara. Daf samach vav. So the siman daf samach vav is a tailor because tailors sew. So here goes. While the tailor instructed his students to sew, tailor sew? That must be on daf samach vav. While the tailor instructed his students to sew klal prat uklal on the chagavim hoodies, even though the first klal is not the same as the second, which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel darshan's klal prat uklal even where the first klal is different from the second. So while the tailor instructed his students to sew kol prat u'kol on the chagavim hoodies, even though the first kol is not the same as the second, and even though they protested that it was unnecessary, they should sew snapir onto the kosher fish t-shirts, lahagdil Torah u'adira, which reminds of a stated in the Mishnah, kol she'esho kaskeses yesho snapir, any fish which has a scale has a fin, but there are fish with a fin which have no scales. The Gemara says that since we may rely alone on scales to establish that a fish is kosher, lichtof rakamana kaskeses, of snapir, but the Torah writes scale and not right fin, and concludes it was lahagdil Torah u'adira. So while the tailor instructed his students to sew kol prat u'kol on the chagavim hoodies, even though the first kol is not the same as the second, and even though they protested that it was unnecessary, they should sew snapir onto the kosher fish t-shirts, lahagdil Torah u'adira, one student drank from a pit without checking the water, which reminds us we learned shratzim, which germinate in kalim, and even boros are permitted. The pasuk says, "Tochu mikol asher b'mayim." This you may eat from everything which is in the water, to include boros, shichin u'ma'aros, pits, ditches, and caves, shesheichin v'shos mehen ve'en u'nimna, that one may bend down and drink from them and not abstain because of the creatures in the water. Daf Samach Zayin. So the simmer Daf Samach Zayin is a sizzling barbecue. So here goes. At the end of this month, sizzling barbecue, sizzling barbecue. That must be around Daf Samach Zayin. At the end of this month, sizzling barbecue, some Talmudim thought they were being helpful by filtering the beer over some wood chips, not realizing they now made the worms aser, which reminds us, Rav Huna said one should not pour beer through wood chips at night to filter, because perhaps a worm will separate from the beer onto the chips and fall back into the cup. Although it developed in the beer, it was initially permitted. Once it crawled onto the wood chips, it becomes forbidden, as sheretz hashoretz ha'aretz, a sheretz which creeps on the ground. So at the end of this month, sizzling barbecue, some Talmudim thought they were being helpful by filtering the beer over some wood chips, not realizing they now made the worms aser. While others were arguing so loudly about questions of a cucumber that became wormy, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Kishos shuasliya behebel, a cucumber which became wormy while attached to the ground is forbidden under the prohibition of asheretz hashoretz ha'aretz, asheretz which creeps on the ground. Since the attached cucumber is considered the ground itself, the worm's movement inside the cucumber is tantamount to having crept on the ground. So at the end of this month, sizzling barbecue, some Talmudim thought they were being helpful by filtering the beer over some wood chips, not realizing they now made the worms aser. While others were arguing so loudly about questions of a cucumber that became wormy, that they couldn't hear the Rebbe's careful instructions about which worms found in fish and meat are mutter and which are aser. Which reminds us, Rav Sheshes Brein Rav Edi said, Kukiani, worms which infest the livers and lungs of animals, Tosfos says that they infest fish, are forbidden because ma'amah, so they come from elsewhere and do not germinate inside the animals themselves. The Gemara says, Darni de Bisra, larvae found in meat are forbidden, but de chavre, larvae found in fish, are permitted. Ravine explains animals' meat becomes permitted through shechita, and since the shechita is ineffective for larvae, they remain forbidden as aver min hachai. In contrast, fish become permitted through asifa, gathering from the water. So the larvae which develops in them are formed in a permitted state. Daf Samaches. So the simon Daf Samaches is schach. So here goes. When the shochet, he used a cow made out of schach. Schach? That must be more on Daf Samaches. When the shochet used a cow made out of schach to demonstrate how halachos related to labor showed how a foreleg of the fetus that protrudes in the womb is not permitted, even if it retracts, which reminds us, we learned that a limb of an uber, which momentarily left the womb, is not permitted through the mother's shechita. Rav Darshan says from Ubasim Basada Trefilo Sochelu, and meat in the field, trefi you shall not eat, teaching Kevin Shiatsa Basel Chutzl Michisatso Nasar. Once meat has left its boundary, it's forbidden. Here, since the limb left its boundary of the womb, it cannot be permitted with the mother shechita. So when the shochet who used a cow made out of schach to demonstrate halachas related to labor showed how a foreleg of the fetus that protrudes from the womb is not permitted even if it retracts, unlike the makam chasach which is permitted, which reminds us that we learned that the makam chasach, the place of the cut, referring to the point of the leg at the border of the womb where it would be cut if one were to sever the part of the leg which left the womb, becomes permitted by returning into the womb. So when the shochet used a cow made out of schach to demonstrate halachos related to labor showed how a foreleg of the fetus that protrudes from the womb is not permitted, even if it retracts, unlike the makam chasach, which is permitted, a Talmud asks if yesh leidele evarim, making the minority part of the limb which never left the womb forbidden, since the majority of it had left. Which reminds us, in Eretz Yisrael, they taught the machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan differently. Rav says, yesh leidele evarim, there is birth for individual limbs, and Rabbi Yochanan says, ein leidele evarim. Rav holds that when a fetus's limb leaves the womb, it's considered born and cannot be permitted with the mother's shechita, and Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Dav Samach Tes. So the Siman Dav Samach Tes is Sud, and we often use a chimney sweep in the Siman. So here goes. The chimney sweep. Chimney sweep. That must be on Dav Samach Tes. Sud. The chimney sweep who is peering out of a chimney into the Azor to see if its walls can be used as a mechitza for the limb of a carbon, which reminds us that more discusses whether the Azor wall can function as a mechitza for the fetus of a carbon. So the chimney sweep who is peering out of a chimney into the Azor to see if its walls can be used as a mechitza for the limb of a carbon told his partner not to drink from the milk of the Ben Pekua, whose leg was marked with soot from when it stuck out of the womb, which reminds us the Gemara discusses the milk of a female fetus, which put out its limb before Shechita. Since all milk is fundamentally Eiver Min HaChai, a limb removed from a live animal, and still permitted, perhaps this animal's milk is likewise permitted, despite its forbidden limb. Or perhaps normal milk is permitted because the Eiver Min HaChai prohibition can be permitted through Shechita, whereas the limb can never be permitted. The Gemara concludes, Teiku. So the chimney sweep who is peering out of a chimney into the Azor to see if its walls can be used as a mechitza for the limb of a carbon told his partner not to drink from the milk of the Ben Pekua whose leg was marked with soot from when it stuck out of the womb. As another chimney sweep marked a Bechor with a line of soot at its third to try and figure out if it's Kadosh Lemafreya or Melkanu Lahaba, which reminds us, Amram debate the sanctification of a firstborn animal, Yatsa Shlish, if a third of a Bechor emerged from the womb and the owner sold it to an idolater, which ordinarily exempts a firstborn animal from Bechor status, and then another third emerged from the womb, completing the majority, Rav Huna says Kadosh, it's sanctified as a Bechor, and Rabba says it's not Kadosh. Rav Huna holds Lemafreya Kadosh, a Bechor is sanctified retroactively. So once the majority emerges, it is revealed retroactively that it was sanctified as a Bechor from the beginning of birth, and his sale to the idolater was invalid. Rabba holds Mekanu Laba Kadosh. It's sanctified from the majority's emergence and onward, so his sale to the idolater was valid, exempting the animal from Bechor sanctification. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which stuff do we know that creatures without bones, such as insects, cannot live for 12 months? That's on Daf. Nunches. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we discuss whether one becomes tamei if they touch a dead fetus inside the womb? That's on daf. Ayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we discuss the status of the milk of a ben pekua? That's on daf. Samach Tes. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn that a kosher grasshopper's wings must cover most of its length and most of its circumference? That's on daf. Samach Hei. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we discuss attached fruit which become wormy? That's on daf. Samach Zayin. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that taurine were specified to teach that only they are fit for a carbon? That's on daf. Samach Aleph. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we have various shilas of chatzitza in the birth of a bechor? That's on daf. Ayin. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we discuss whether the Azara wall can function as the mechitza for the fetus of a carbon? That's on daf. Samach Tes. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn the Rabbi Shmuel Darshan's klal prat uklal even where the first klal is different from the second? That's on daf. Samach Vav. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we discuss the question whether we follow the majority regarding limbs or not? That's on daf. Ayin. Good. Excellent. All right, that concludes this pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.